Thank you for downloading the PR Week, PR Week's weekly podcast. For more podcasts as well as breaking news, visit prweek.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the PR Week, PR Week's weekly podcast for everything going on in the world of PR and communications. My name is Frank Washcook. I'm the news editor at PR Week, stepping in for our editor-in-chief, Steve Barrett, who is someplace in the wilds of Yellowstone National Park this week. I'm joined by a special guest, Greg Castano, the president of Business Wire. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Allison Kansky, our healthcare and public affairs reporter, is also joining us. So to start out, how do you describe what Business Wire is in layman's terms?
Okay, basically we're a vehicle for organizations, whether they be publicly traded companies or any type of news-creating organization that needs to issue information about their companies to the news media, to the investment community, to the internet, to trade publications, to social media. We also satisfy disclosure requirements for publicly traded companies, but we can also distribute news basically to any type of audience or media that an issuer needs to get to. Mm-hmm.
So you've been with the company since 1985, which
is
pretty remarkable in this industry, especially where there's so much turnover. So why are you sticking around?
Well, I mean, I think first of all, it remains interesting every year. Mm-hmm. The technology that continues to change and the environment, the news environment, the news distribution environment is continually changing. So I don't feel like I'm working for the same, doing the same thing year after year. I feel like it's constantly changing and evolving and becoming more and more interesting.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think is the biggest change you've seen since you've been there?
Well, the obvious answer is the internet.
Right.
The internet has basically changed, not just for Business Wire, but for everyone. It's changed everything. We are a completely internet-based service now. Our delivery platform is internet-based. It's a patented service that uses the internet to distribute down secure pipelines. And so that's really been the biggest change in terms of just technology.
Mm-hmm. One of your big initiatives from the past few years has been BizWire TV.
Yes.
Explain to our listeners and readers what that is.
Okay, essentially what we've done is we've created an online video network for what we call the cord-cutting generation, meaning that it's not on regular TV or even cable. It's broadcast online on our website. It's also distributed over social media, and we've just recently added a mobile app, a BizWire TV mobile app. And in addition to that, we're also now on Apple TV, and soon to be we'll be on Roku and on Amazon Fire.
And what kind of content is it?
Okay, essentially we have two programs that run every week. One that runs on Monday morning at 8 a.m., which we call the Accelerator Report, is a two-minute recap of news that's run over our wire that covers disruptors, covers funding announcements, covers VC firms and activity, things of that nature. It's a very kind of fast-paced, kind of get-you-ready-for-the-week kind of newscast. The second program that we air is appears on Friday mornings at 8 a.m., and essentially that's a five-minute program that covers what's trending on Business Wire. So everything on Business Wire TV is content that has run initially on Business Wire, the wire. And essentially what happens is we take what's trending both on our website in terms of activity on our website as well as what's trending on social media using our social media partner, Nuvi, mm-hmm. monitoring partner, and those types of stories that are kind of taking on its own life on social media tend to get covered. So even there, we're trying to concentrate on disruptive companies, companies that are doing things different, and you know things that are but generally be exciting. And that's usually what tends to be trending and kind of taking on its own life on social media.
Mm-hmm. Who is the target audience for both of those shows?
I would say it's media professionals, PR professionals, general consumers, journalists, mm-hmm. And the demographics that we get out of our Google Analytics essentially back that up. I mean, basically, we're reaching an audience that's on average 32 years old, mm-hmm. 60-40 male, female, and they are journalists and communications professionals and general consumers as well.
So in some ways, the same people that are looking for the content on your wire services as
yes.
well. If you were using Apple TV, how would the consumer, how would the end user find you on Apple TV or another streaming
device? Okay, well, it's a lot like finding an app on your iPhone.
Okay.
Essentially, you log on to or you turn on Apple TV, you do a search via the app for BizWire TV, and it'll come up, and you just download it, and it appears.
So with all this new tech we talked about, is the press release dead or not?
It is definitely not dead. The press release is changing. It's becoming much more of a content marketing vehicle than it, in the past. Obviously, it's been almost strictly a text-based vehicle, but now it's becoming much more of a visual content-based vehicle where you can send not just text, but all kinds of different multimedia-type information, whether it's photos or videos or podcasts like this or infographics, things like that. So it's kind of evolved into much more of a content marketing tool than strictly a means to reach the media, which is what it really started out to be.
Mm-hmm. Prediction time. How do you think it's going to change in the next couple of years?
I think it's going to continue to evolve into the area of video. That's why BizWire TV was so important to us. I believe it's going to be much more based on not just reaching the media, which is becoming almost an ancillary reason for people using the wire, but to reach audiences via social media and via websites and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, this is Greg Castano, and he is the president of Business Wire. Thanks for chatting with us. We're going to go over the biggest news of the week now, and feel free to chime in on okay. your thoughts on any of these topics. So let's start, Allison, very briefly talking about a few industry acquisitions that this happened. I should say one is an industry acquisition, which is O'Malley Hansen buying out Paytex, so adding another office to their operations in Los Angeles. Hotwire, which is the London-based firm that has offices in New York, also announced it's reached a strategic agreement with Via News that allows it to enter Brazil, which is an interesting move for them. And then what I think was the biggest agency business move of the week, Mark Penn Stagwell Group, which is an investment advisory firm, has taken a minority share in Finn Partners, which they say is going to allow them to expand again and more overseas and in Asia Pacific specifically. So a story to keep an eye on there. In general, how would you say that agency acquisitions, mergers and acquisitions, does that have any effect on your business, or does that have any effect on how you deal with the firms?
Well, it certainly has an effect on how we deal with them, because you're bringing new players into the mix. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it depends on whether or not you have a relationship with that agency already or not, which in the case of Finn Partners, we do. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, it becomes a benefit to Business Wire because they become a larger firm that has more news to distribute, and that affects us, you know, directly in terms of our business.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that the rate of acquisition has gone up or gone down in the past couple of years?
I think it's definitely gone up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of consolidation going on, not just in PR, but as we've seen in the wire service business. Mm-hmm. I think the rate of acquisitions have definitely increased.
Yeah, the wire service business has definitely seen a lot of consolidation as well. How has that changed the game for you guys?
Well, basically, we take pride in the fact that we're owned by a very rock-solid corporation, Berkshire Hathaway. Mm-hmm. We're not going anywhere. We're not being sold. We're not going through the disruption that takes place when you do a merger with another firm. So in many ways, it's a positive for us because, we get to demonstrate our stability and our reliability to our existing customers and to potential customers.
I feel like that's a lesser known fact that you guys are owned by Berkshire Hathaway. It comes as a surprise to a lot of people.
Well, we've publicized it a lot, so yeah. I don't know why that is, but yeah, I mean...
Well, I just mean I think people think Warren Buffett, they think other things. They don't
right,
necessarily
yes,
think
true.
Of wire service.
Yeah, I mean, we're a very small piece of the empire, mm-hmm. But a very valued piece. I mean, I've heard Warren say many times how much he loves the wire service business, and you know, I go to the annual meetings every year, and he usually shouts out something about Business Wire during the meetings. So it's even though we're kind of a small piece of the pie, he does give us a lot of kudos and really likes the way the business runs, and he's kind of left us alone, which has been very, very rewarding. His philosophy is he buys businesses that are already well run, and he feels like he shouldn't mess with them, and he's been true to his word on that. We haven't. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been a lot of intervention. He kind of let us, you know, do our own thing, and he's been happy with the results.
So, do you get to the big annual Warren Buffett Fest every year out in Omaha that always attracts so much attention?
Yes, I pretty much do. There are some years I don't, sometimes for personal reasons, but for the most part, I attend them. Yeah.
Okay. On to the next topic, which of course is Skittlegate, which is this brand communication story that we can't seem to get away from this week. Allison, bring us up to speed a little bit on Skittlegate.
Sure. So Donald Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., he sent out a tweet comparing, I can't remember the exact words it says now, but it's basically saying...
Probably for the best, but...
That's true. Yeah. Basically saying, talking about if a bowl of Skittles was poisoned, if there were only a couple, would you eat a handful of them? And he compared that to the Syrian refugee problem, which obviously is very offensive. So when a journalist reached out to Skittles to say, like, what do you think of this? Skittles just said, Skittles are candy, refugees are people, and then they said that they weren't going to comment because they didn't want to seem like they were using it for marketing.
See, when this story first started to break, I was interested to see how Skittles would handle it, because Skittles can be naturally outrageous as a brand in some ways, and they were very restrained in how they handled it. I think that it worked for them. What are your thoughts?
I was just thinking as she was saying what their response was, that was the exact, absolute perfect response. I don't think that's, you know, the Syrian refugee crisis is something that you either build your brand on or try to capitalize on.
Yeah, and that seems to be the consensus out there, whether it's on Twitter or whether it's in comment sections. Well, the comment sections of PR Week, perhaps, but maybe not everybody's comment section. But it seems to be the consensus that they handle this well. Another thing that's getting rave reviews, Allison, if you could bring us up to speed on the latest episode of Between Two Ferns.
Yes.
Okay. Since I haven't seen it yet, but you have.
Yeah, I know Greg saw it too.
Yes.
So this week, or it was today, it was this morning, Hillary Clinton was on Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, which is a web series that's just horribly awkward and very fun to watch, where Zach Galifianakis sits down with the celebrity and just kind of pokes them a little and prods them and draws out really awkward silences and whatnot. And so she went on there because she's, you know, trying to get the young people, the millennials, me, mostly. and I don't know. People seem to like it, I think.
I think that we should have gotten ferns for this set for today, just to be appropriate.
You're right.
Greg, you also saw it. What did you think?
First of all, it was hilarious. Zach was extremely non-deferential, I would say, to Hillary. And he also got many cracks in about Mr. Trump as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say he was equally, you know, equal opportunity offender in terms of, you know, who he was targeting. You know, she played it very deadpan. I think she did a pretty good job doing that. She kind of rolled with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe that'll help her with the millennials. I don't know.
I always wonder with the Between Two Ferns appearances, do they see the questions in advance? Do they not? It makes me wonder in a situation like that. It really does, because she did handle it very well. So it's something to watch going forward. Do you think Donald Trump will appear on Between Two Ferns?
No, I don't think so. He can't take a joke, I don't think.
I have a hard time picturing it as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's about all the time we have for this week's edition of the PR Week. Thank you for joining us. And Greg, thank you for
coming in this week. Thank you very much.
My name is Frank Washcook. I'm the news editor of PR Week. This is Allison Kansky, our healthcare and public affairs reporter. We'll see you next week.